Few Bibles for our scripturing for this morning. Our scripturing is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read verses 1 to 19. And our text is verse 14 this morning. First Corinthians chapter 15, read verses 1 to 19. And our text is verse 14. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord." And the congregation responds saying, "Thanks be to God." Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. And by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Our text is verse 14 for this morning. "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, so today we celebrate the resurrection. You understand that it is our position at Calvin Christian Reformed Church that the resurrection did happen. We follow what the historic Christian church has always taught. It has been the church's firm conviction from day one that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Absolutely. It was on a Friday that Jesus was crucified, and so he died. He died because people don't survive crucifixions. He was so dead that Joseph of Arimathea buried him. He was wrapped up, and he was placed in a cold, damp, dark tomb. But then it was on the third day, on the Sunday, that Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah! That's our conviction. We join with countless Christians, countless churches, countless denominations around the world in affirming that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Praise his name. That's why we are here this morning. Congregation, we need to talk about the resurrection a little bit more this morning. And so the question I want to address is this: to what extent does it really matter that Christ did rise from the dead? To what extent does it really matter? You see, there are many people in the world today, also within the Christian church, who hold that Christ did not really rise from the dead. And you understand their thinking. I mean, resurrections don't really happen too often. When was the last time you met someone who rose from the dead? Maybe like never? And so their position is, Jesus did not really, like, literally rise from the dead, but we go to church anyways, we praise God anyways, because it's good to do that. It's good to be a Christian. We need God. We need the church. We need faith. We just don't need the literal resurrection. The resurrection is one of those disputable matters. It's not vital to the Christian faith, so it is said. And of course, you wonder then what they do with passages like 1 Corinthians 15. Well, those who deny the resurrection usually say that what Paul says here is metaphor. It's symbolism. You don't take it literally. This is just poetic language, you know. The problem that I have with that, though, is that 1 Corinthians 15 doesn't really come across as poetry. 1 Corinthians is a letter. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. He's explaining the stuff of the Christian faith to the Corinthian church. And he's outlining the core essential teachings of the Christian church. And what's core and essential? You consider verse 3 again of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures, Paul says. Paul's point with that is that Christ's resurrection is even according to the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures, that is. Even the Old Testament, in its own way, preaches the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so to Paul, this did happen. This is not metaphor here. It's not symbolism or poetry. There is poetry in other places in the Bible, like the Psalms, for example, but not here. Paul is teaching it as fact that Christ rose from the dead, and it is extremely important. Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Congregation, I want to spend some time on this morning, so I'll read it again, verse 14. "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Notice the three parts to our text. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And so Paul mentions the resurrection, our preaching, and your faith. Three parts. And these three parts, they belong together, they work together, they flow together. Hear me out on this. According to Paul, the resurrection is important. It did happen. It had to happen. Really? You see, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that led to our death. Sin leads to death. But what if sin is dealt with? What if sin is removed? What happens if sin is paid for, washed away? Well, then things back up, right? That's exactly what Christ did. He came as the second Adam to undo death. He conquered it. He paid for sin through his death, and so it's logical that there is now new life. Sin leads to death. Conquered sin leads to new life. Christ begins new life. His resurrection is the proof. And so the resurrection is crucially important, and so is our preaching, says the Apostle Paul. Why is preaching so important? Well, it's through preaching that God takes the stuff accomplished in the resurrection and transfers it to our lives. Preaching is God's means to bring resurrection to us. Some people say we don't need preaching. Some people say we don't need the church, we don't need ministers, we don't need missionaries, we don't need preaching. Nonsense. Preaching is an important link in the chain. As a matter of fact, Paul's point is that the resurrection of Christ, it empowers our preaching. It makes it effective so that it works in us. And so the resurrection is important, preaching is important, and so is your faith, says Paul. Of course, it's through faith that we are made right with God. Faith is the proof that the Holy Spirit makes his home within us. Faith is the fruit of the resurrection at work in us. Do you see how these three things work together then? Each one is vitally important. You take away one and the others make no sense. Then they don't work. Sure, you take away the resurrection and everything else fails. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. There are different translations of our text out there. The Revised Standard Version, it says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. The Old King James Version words it almost the same. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Eugene Peterson's The Message words it in a very interesting way. He writes, if there's no resurrection of Christ, everything we told you is smoke and mirrors, and everything you staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Actually, in the Greek, the word Paul uses there is the word kenos, which literally means empty. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is empty, and so is your faith. Think of a cup of water. You want to sip, but it's empty. There's nothing in it. So it is. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is empty, and so is your faith. Congregation, have you thought about how crucial all of this is? Have you thought about the implications if Christ has not been raised from the dead? Have you thought about what that could do to your mind? I'm reminded of a book, a novel we had to read for one of our classes when I was still a student at Calvin Theological Seminary. The book was entitled The Flight of Peter Frum. It was it's a theology book in a certain sense, but more it's a novel. It is a theological novel. Very interesting book. The book tells the fictional story of a guy named Peter, a very naive guy who goes off to a theological school because he wants to become a minister. Now, Peter doesn't attend just any theological school. No, he attends one of the most liberal theological schools that there is. A school that loves to study the Bible, but does not respect it as the Word of God. The book, it shows how after Peter joins the seminary, he slowly moves from his firm, naive faith to a faith that completely denies the resurrection. As we go through the book, we watch Peter slowly remove every underpinning and pillar to his faith. In the end, it's all gone. Committed to a rationalistic worldview and a scientific way of looking at everything, he ends up unsure if God even exists at all. And at the climax of the book, Peter Frum is asked by one of his liberal theological professors to preach a sermon for him for Easter Sunday. His text, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Congregation, how do you preach on a text like this if you no longer accept the reality of the resurrection? Peter, he finally enters the pulpit that Easter Sunday morning, and he's rather nervous. He has a sermon prepared, but it doesn't say very much. He tries to say something, but yeah, what could he say? He didn't believe in the resurrection. And since he didn't believe in the resurrection, he knew that what he was going to say was going to be shallow and pointless and empty. And it was certainly not going to feed the people because they didn't have any faith anyways. They too were all empty, and they were going to stay that way. Peter's on the pulpit, and he is absolutely speechless. Until all of a sudden, he starts to shake and he snaps. He goes crazy. And he runs off the pulpit in tears, and he runs into the congregation, and he starts kicking people and slapping people and pulling their hair and screaming and yelling. And a number of people finally jump on him and they wrestle him to the ground. He loses his mind. And the next thing you know, he knows is he finds himself in the hospital. And there he stays until he gets used to the fact that everything for him now is empty. What a sad story. Now, congregation, this book is just a story. It's just fiction. It's a tragedy. But I think it gives an accurate description of what happens to a person when he accepts as fact that Christ did not raise from the dead. You realize that all is pointless. All is empty. You go mad. Like Paul says, rather, in verses 17 to 19 of our passage, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. How different now this fictional story of Peter from another story I must tell you, a true story. It's the story of Lee Strobel. Have you ever heard of him? Lee Strobel started out as an atheist, a person who does not believe in God at all. Lee was a brilliant student. For his education, he went to law school at Yale University. There he was taught to be skeptical about everything. You only trust something if there is clear, hard, cold evidence for it. That's what he learned at Yale. After Yale, Lee Strobel worked for the Chicago Tribune as a legal analyst. He was a brilliant reporter. Politicians and others would fear him because as a reporter, trained in looking for hard, cold facts, Lee Strobel was ruthless and brutal. But Lee Strobel was not happy. Seeing all the corruption in the world as a reporter, seeing all the misery in the world, Lee was overall himself very disillusioned and angry. He was empty inside. And then it happened that Lee Strobel's wife, Leslie, started going to church with their next door neighbor, and this really upset Lee. He thought to himself, oh no, my wife is going to turn into a Christian. Help me. How much more worse can you get? Well, it happened after that that Lee went off to prove to his wife that Christianity is actually bad for you. It's a big hoax. All they want is your money. It's a big joke. And with his strong legal and journalistic mind, he set out to look at all the sources and study the Bible and all the other documents of the ancient world to prove that there wasn't even a Jesus, much less a resurrection. And so Lee Strobel, with his well-trained mind, wanted to deal with the hardcore facts. And where did this journey take him? After a while, Lee Strobel began to realize that all the other ancient historical documents only confirmed what the Bible says. He learned, too, that as a historical book, as a history book, the Bible is amazingly accurate. He learned, too, how so many early Christians all gave their lives. They were willing to be burned at the stake, be fed to the lions, because they could not deny what they saw. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And when Lee Strobel finally realized that the resurrection was almost certainly a historical fact, and when he saw what the preaching of the gospel did to his wife, and when he saw her faith, her changed life, there was nothing else for Lee to do. He became a Christian himself. He discovered that the resurrection did happen. Preaching is not useless, and neither is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It changed Lee. He became a new man. He was no longer bitter and angry and disillusioned. He became a new man, a better father, a better husband, a better employee. And what does Lee Strobel do today? Lee used to work for Willow Creek and for Saddleback Churches. Today, he's a pastor at Woodlands Church in Texas. He's a writer. He's a speaker. He teaches at Houston Baptist University. In short, he is a defender and a preacher of the gospel. I guess you can say that's also why I am a defender and a preacher of the gospel. I just want to say today, what we are doing here today is not empty. I proclaim to you, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. On that Good Friday, he was crucified, but on that first Easter Sunday, he came back to life. Don't ask me how to explain it from a scientific point of view. Quite frankly, it can't be explained. This is just one great God acting in history. So many people saw Jesus after the resurrection. Peter saw him along with the other disciples. A little while later, he was seen by 500 people all at the same time, says 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. He appeared to James and then to the other apostles of the early church. Paul saw him too. And Paul was the most skeptical person that there ever was. He used to persecute Christians until he met the risen Christ. Now we may question the reliability of the testimony of all these witnesses, but why should we? We can just look at the result of some 2,000 years of New Testament preaching. Look what all the preaching has created. The Church of Jesus Christ is all around the planet. It's virtually in every single country. It's even here in this community. Look at all these people here. What's wrong with you? The preaching of the resurrection is not empty. The resurrection did happen, and so our preaching is not empty, and neither is your faith. True faith provides hope, provides love. It gives meaning to life. It gives direction. It gives a goal. It transforms. It makes new. I sense it. Others know it. Where would we be without the living Christ? Why else, Aaron and Ashley, would you baptize Weston into all of this here today? Not that we don't experience sin and hardship in our lives. Of course we do. But when we gather to hear the preaching from Sunday to Sunday, we are continually resurrected in our hearts and in our lives. We are slowly changed into new people. Enough always so I can say, I can handle my hardships. I can handle my difficulties. I can handle my illness. I can even face the grave, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Here's our message. Christ has risen. Our preaching is not empty, and neither is your faith. Dear friends, Christ died to pay for sin, but today we celebrate the resurrection. Hallelujah. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ who lives today? Do you know him? Do you have that saving relationship with him? Only those who seek him, who repent and believe, who walk with him by faith, they have that. Run from sin, run to him, dear friends. Don't live in the darkness. Don't live in vain. Don't live in emptiness. Commit your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has risen. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, it's Easter today. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is real. And so our preaching is not empty. So we pray, Father, that you would work through your word today to touch our hearts so that our faith is not empty. And we pray, Father, for the person who might be in our midst this morning. Maybe we've gone to church for many, many years, or maybe this is the first time we're in an assembly like this and we hear the gospel. May you work by your resurrection power through your word to touch our hearts so that we may know you. And that we may know you in a heartfelt way. So that we want to praise you. So that we are changed. So that we are new. So that we're not empty. And we are alive because Jesus Christ is the King. Bless us to that end. Bless communion this morning. Hear our prayer, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn of application is hymn number 404. Sing, choirs of New Jerusalem. Children ages 5 to grade 4 may leave for their Sunday school class as well at this time. Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 404. Stand.